Good morning. This is Pastor Bill bringing you a News in Focus. This one is found on the WashingtonPost.com/blog/postpolitics. This is by Aaron Blake on October the 28th, and it is entitled Ron Paul Warns Abortion Science Could Lead to Eugenics. Senator Ron Paul, a Republican from Kentucky, on Monday warned that the combination of abortion and scientific advances could one day lead to the practice of eugenics, that is, trying to improve the human race through selection of desirable traits. Now, this could be seen in two applications, listener, that I can think of. Number one is a parent keeps on being selective of a child until they find the one within the mother that they want. Actually increase abortions, money, and given enough resources, a family could have an infinite amount of abortions until they find the child that they really want. It could also lead, secondly, in my opinion, to the legal selectiveness, that is, the government-backed sterilization of unwanted gene pools, unwanted gene production. In other words, you could have in the future, one or two decades down the road, subsidies given to families to have children who have desirable traits, or you could have restrictions on those who do not have desirable traits. All right, back to the article. The remarks came during an appearance with Virginia gubernatorial candidate Gen Cuccinelli in Lynchburg, Virginia. From the Associated Press, during a visit to the Christian school funded by Jerry Falwell, Paul looked to energize conservative supporters by warning that people who are short, overweight, or less intelligent could be eliminated through abortion. With 1 week remaining, Cuccinelli is hoping the joint appearance with U.S. Senator from Kentucky will encourage the far-right flank of his party to abandon third-party libertarian spoiler Robert Starvis. In your lifetime, much of your potential or lack thereof can be known simply by swabbing the inside of your cheek, Paul said to a packed sporting arena on Liberty's campus. Are we prepared to select out the imperfect among us? In other words, if we can swab your genetic potential from the inside of your mouth and then limit the amount of children that you can have, well, then that just comes basically to real practical application of survival of the fittest, except you are deciding which ones survive. And then we're just a step or two away from Nazism and the idea of the Aryan race and the Third Reich. Some states ran eugenics programs that sterilized those considered defective in the 1900s, though all were abandoned by the 1970s after scientists discredited the idea. Okay. Well, are we against the idea of a government subsidizing or desiring superior traits and limiting or blessing based on that decision? Well, first of all, who in the world decided that was a government decision? But that is where this is leading to. But when you see government deciding how you should be taught in your schools, how your abortion should be funded, how you should have certain welfare, recipients. Well, then I could see actually conservative people coming to the side, and I can see this in the future, conservative people coming to the side of limiting the amount of children you can have and still remain on welfare. To the point where you could actually have, conservatively worded abortion. It might come in a way of a, they might call it abortisense. They might call them morning after pills. But different words, because we catch on to that. And a lot of the constitutionalists out there, and a lot of which I would say I'm a pretty staunch one, and a lot of people out there who are conservative but not Christians, this is really going to play with them as well. Because they're going to see themselves as, yeah, why shouldn't we limit the non-taxed and only in entitlement-receiving population out there. And so this is really a situation where Christians have to decide what they believe about life. Who gives life? Is it God's will that a man and woman who are involved with a monogamous relationship have as many children as God will bless them with? If you believe Genesis 1, then you have to believe that not only is that the mission of the family, which is to populate God's earth and dominate it in the name of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, which will ultimately only be fulfilled in the kingdom to come. But nonetheless, if it is the mission of the family to have life, have new life, and be gifted with new life, well then, it doesn't seem like selection is a good idea. Because if God gives life in the womb, and life is there, and that is a soul, and that is a person, well, then it seems that we ought to leave both the giving and the taking of life to the Lord. Now, before you touch that dial and say, well, of course, I knew this already. You're 7 miles from where we sit from Fort Bragg, where every day we're involved with a profession that takes lives. And so that brings up another issue that I would like for you to consider as I let you go here after this short recording. Now, I know the answer that I have, but I want you to think, if you haven't thought about this yet, how do you deal with the idea that you're involved with a profession or you support an army or armed services that takes lives? Is it in the power, should it be in the power of the soldier to take the life of another person? The life should be in the power of a Department of Defense to take the life of a person, another person that God created in his image and that Jesus died for. Should it be? I'm not interested in having a debate with you about whether or not someone in Adam's fallen race can be in the image of God, nor am I interested in debating with you whether Christ died for every man. So if you just choked on that last statement, get over it, and please don't write me. But this is something that you need to get a hold of. If abortion is sin, why is army service not a sin? I have my answer, but I want you to deeply search. And then I want you to ask yourself if it matters what you believe, if it matters what God says. For example, I am in the Army Reserve, but if I were not, or if I were active duty Army, and if I came to the conclusion that I'm in a profession that is ungodly and that it takes lives, would I change, or would I, for money's sake, find a convenient way around the argument? So this is not just about eugenics. This is about applying it to every part of our lives and making it work. This is practical theology. This is the kind of thing where you don't get 3 hours to determine what you think about something. Our daily devotions and our worship services and our devotionals, they contribute to our overall perspective of who God is. And when we have an overall perspective of who God is, it drives us to think differently. How would God handle this? How would God have me to handle this? So two big questions, I think, that come to our mind are, does it matter what God says about something? Does it matter what I believe he has done in his creation? And is it a problem that people might be selective about having children based on their genetic potential? Those are things that may not, in your mind, have black and white. But try to remember that the more that you find that is gray, the less support you have for teaching unsaved people that the Word of God has application to their everyday life. If you keep finding things that are gray, and by the way, I'm not trying to make everything black and white, but you better be careful about just saying, I don't know, the Bible speaks clearly to it, because while you're saying that, the clock is ticking away, and you're going to be faced with another decision. And they won't all be as easy as, what do you think about this newscast? All right, well, this is Pastor Bill. Appreciate you listening in. Have a good day.